हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय। सो भक्ति संदर्भ अध्याय 1 आदिकाण्ड 3 भक्ति अलोन इज द कंक्लूजन ऑफ ऑल द स्क्रिप्चर्स अनुच्छेद 49। Prithu practiced the jnana taught by Sanat Kumara only with the desire that Sanat Kumara's teachings of jnana would not be useless. He practiced jnana with a taste for bhakti. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Quote, the best of men worship the Supreme Lord by the elevated process called Adhyatma Yoga, which Sanat Kumara had taught. Constantly endeavoring with faith, dedicated to the Lord, Prithu performed bhakti to the Supreme Lord alone. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3, 9-10. You want to say something, G? I think because you have two things working in the same place at once, sometimes it does that.
Yeah, sorry, I tried to keep both muted. I didn't realize the one was open. Sorry.
Ah, okay. Uddariti, Srila Prabhupada. It is clear from this verse that Maharaj Prithu was never a worshiper of the impersonal Brahman, but was at all times a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavati, Brahmani, refers to one who is engaged in devotional service to the personality of Godhead. A devotee's knowledge of the impersonal Brahman is automatically revealed, and he is not interested in merging into the impersonal Brahman. Prithu Maharaj's activities in devotional service enabled him to become fixed and steady in the discharge of devotional activities without having to take recourse to karma, jnana, or yoga. Srimad Bhagavatam 4.23.10 purport. Prithu used jnana as a medium for his bhakti. Maitreya spoke thus the verse, right? So it's a medium, just like everything. The body's the medium, the mind's the medium, the intelligent senses are mediums. So when they're connected to the Lord, then they become auspicious. They become of value. So he's not practicing jnana because it's not a goal for him. And it's not jnana misra bhakti because he doesn't have any interest in liberation. He doesn't have any interest in the Brahman feature on its own, separate from the Lord. And he has no interest to merge into Brahman. So it's just that Krishna, pervades everything. He is everything. He's the existence of everything. But it's Krishna who's that. So you're seeing Brahman in the context of Krishna, because it's Brahman is Krishna's effulgence. I mean, Krishna is so wonderful. Just as effulgence, as it expands, it's the existence of everything. Right, so one seeing like that, so he has no interest. So that it being a medium, it doesn't become jnana misra bhakti, because misra means that there's a goal, right? Work is work, right? I'm cooking, I'm using a technique, I'm using a recipe. Why do we call it karma? Why do we call it jnana? We don't call it because of the technique. We don't call it because of the specific, transformation of the material energy that will be gained. And we don't call it necessarily because of the field. We call it because of the intent. The circumstances defines whether it's bhakti or not. So that means if your goal is liberation and you want to serve Krishna, then that'll be jnana misra bhakti, or karma misra, yoga misra, as whatever it is the intent of the individual. So the activity itself is not. So because he's using jnana as a medium doesn't mean that he is performing jnana misra bhakti. It's not pure bhakti. He's just using that aspect of understanding Krishna through these aspects as a way to always remember the Lord. And from that, then you go on to the Lord and you become absorbed in the person. So that's what we see is like the very advanced personalities like the Brajabasis. Everything reminds them of Krishna, but it's simultaneously when something reminds, like the tamal tree reminds them because of the color of Krishna, they're just thinking of Krishna. So they don't have to think, yes, he's so great, his potencies come through, and therefore the color is this and that, and then get to Krishna. We may do that, but that's using jnana as a medium. But then you get to that, and then you meditate on Krishna. So for them, it's just simultaneous. So they don't, you don't see any of that. So when it becomes, there becomes that little bit of lag or something like that, or that absorption is there, then you're using those as mediums. But for them, they're just performing pure bhakti. And therefore, you know, in their anubhavas, they're performing different activities with their body, mind, and senses that are connected to Krishna. And so it's all, it becomes non-different. You don't make, have to make a distinction there like us. A distinction is made for us because as sadhakas, then there may be more degree of bhakti or less, or more degree of karma, jnana, and yoga or less. And so that's why we make the distinction, just like we make the distinction between sambit, sandhi, nihladi. But when it's actually applied, they're all together. You know, just like sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana, then there's the particular aspects. But when they're applied, then they're working together. Because you're performing an activity in a place to get a result, please Krishna. It's simultaneous. But we make the distinction here because we may have the right intent, but then let's say our technique is wrong, or the technique is right, but the situation isn't, or the situation, the technique is right, but our understanding of the goal is wrong. You know, so there may be some, so we divide it up so that it makes it easier for us to be able to discern and tell what is appropriate and what's not. Does that make sense? We're good? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Because otherwise, sometimes we go into thing, if the external thing is there, then we'll say it's that. It's jnana or karma. But the actual thing is this, what's the goal? What's their intent? So if the intent is there, they could be using karma by doing nishkam karma yoga. They're performing karma, but without attachment. So then, you know, they want liberation, you know. Or you see some people are very renounced, very austere and all that, but they want, you know, to elevation to the heavenly planets. So you have to, it means you can see the external, but then, you know, what religious principles are being applied, but then you have to see is what is their goal. Then that confirms what it is. Otherwise, just seeing the external and going, oh, that's jnana. You know, someone's austere. Oh, he's a jnani, or he's performing work. He goes to work, has his job. Oh, he's a karmi. No, you have to see what's the intent. Then it has some meaning. Vritti. Next, through the instructions of Lord Shiva in Rudra Gita, it is confirmed that engaging in worship of the Lord by engaging one's mind in words and glorifying him is the best process, and all other processes of worship, such as performance of karma, are discouraged. Anucheda 50. In Rudra Gita, it is said, O princes, being pure, offering your minds to the Lord, perform your prescribed duties and chant this prayer. It is auspicious for you. Tam evat manam atmastam sarva bhuteshvastitam pujayadvam grinantascha jayantascha sakrid dharim. Chanting his glories and meditating on the Lord, repeatedly worshiping only the Supreme Lord situated in the hearts of all beings and in yourself. Srimad Bhagavatam 4:24, 69-70. Worship only Eva, the Lord, and do not be involved in performing your dharma. That is the significance of the word Eva. The Lord is situated as the Antaryami, Atmastam. Glorify Grinantaha and meditate on the Paramatma situated in other beings. The mind and words should not deviate to other things. One should worship repeatedly, asakrit, When one's worship is finished, one should again begin another worship. One should not interrupt the worship by performing karmas. Shiva spoke thus to Prachetas. So not that I'm doing my worship and then that's finished. I stop. Now I go do karmas and this and that. And then after that, you know, it's just my prescribed duties and all. And then at another time, let's say, you know, at noon, you know, then, you know, you take your bath, chanting your mantras and do that or some offerings. Again, you're doing some worship, then that stops. Then you go back into karmas or this or that. Then you're in the evening again. What he's meaning is that, no, you're performing your duties because it pleases the Supreme Lord. So you're not doing your duties because, yes, as Kshatriyas, you know, as princes here, that we have to do our duties. It's the matter of the Lord has this as Narad Muni, then they're saying that Nishkam Karma Yoga, then that's being performed because you don't have any, you don't want any results for yourself. It's only being done for Krishna. So it's not Nishkam Karma Yoga for liberation or Nishkam Karma Yoga to elevate yourself to the heavenly planets. It's Nishkam Karma Yoga because you don't want any material results because you only want to serve and please Krishna. Does that make any sense? Yeah? So here, do not interrupt the worship by performing karmas. Means always be remembering the Lord. Always be seeing the Lord's in your heart and in the heart of others. Right? Yes? No? Pretty good.
Yes, Guru Maharaj.
Okay. Then we have Vriti. Next, the instructions of Narad Muni to the Prachetas is summarized. Narad Muni, while instructing the Prachetas, affirmed that the only real value in this world is service to the Supreme Lord. Without service to the Lord, all the processes such as the Shankhya, Jnana, Astanga Yoga, etc., are all useless because they don't benefit the living entity in attaining the ultimate perfection. Right? So one can say, oh, but it does this, and you can use this, but that's the point. Only its use in the Lord's service does it have any value. On its own, it doesn't do anything for the soul. So one has to give up that attachment that the activity is auspicious or it gives a particular benefit or removes particular obstacles. It has to be that, no, we're just serving the Lord, and then we're using whatever medium is the appropriate medium for us and our stats. Anucheda 51. Narada makes this clear with positive and negative statements in Srimad Bhagavatam 4, 31, 9 through 14. The birth, activities, lifespan, mind, and words of humans takes on real value by service to the Supreme Lord, the soul of the universe. So in other words, he's saying that the birth, activities, lifespan, mind, and words of humans have no actual value for the soul. But they take on real value when they by service to the Supreme Lord, right? The soul of the universe. So therefore, the individual soul then serves the soul of the universe. That then becomes something special. Without that service, what is the use of taking the three births by semen, upanayanam, and initiation? What we say here is that the first birth is when you're born to the parents. Second is the upanayanam. Third is an initiation into the Bhagavat worship of the Lord, you know, through the Pancharatra, you know, systems. So therefore, then when we have all these, we're actually tuija. Right? What is the use of ritual acts mentioned in the Vedas? What is the use of the lifespan of a devata or a human? Right. So therefore, he's saying these things, birth, activities, lifespan, mind, and words, have a value connected. And then he says, without service, then what is the use of birth? What is the use of the ritual activities? What is the use of the lifespan? Something like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Without service to the Lord, what is the use of hearing scriptures like Vedanta, austerity, expert discussions of scripture, the ability to understand scriptures, intelligence, expertise, physical strength or sharpness of the senses? What is the use of yoga, shankhya, sannyas, study of the Vedas, or other auspicious acts in which the Lord does not give realization of himself? Right, so this, what he's pointing out here, this is when it says about surrender and to me give up all our other religions. This is what Krishna's talking about. Is all these things have to be connected to him because he is of value. These other things aren't of value anymore, only as much as they're immediate. You know, a pot in the kitchen only has a value in it that it can help you cook something. Right? It doesn't have any other, you know, unless it's a cast iron frying pan, then it's also good for clobbering somebody up the side of the head. But other than that, it doesn't have any, it doesn't have the value unless it's used in the Lord's service. So that's the whole point of the of that Dridha Shraddha, is this is how you think. And if you think, no, but why be so? No, that's a little harsh. You know, I mean, we have to be a little bit more accommodating, you know, like that. And no, that's Kamala Shraddha. Dridha Shraddha means what Narad Muni just summarized here in these few verses. That is someone who has the understanding of Dridha Shraddha. That is fixed because it is about, you know, Krishna. And if it's not connected to Krishna, what's the point of it? No matter how glorious it is. He's mentioning all the most glorious things. But they're all useless if they're not connected to the Lord. That understanding, that's Dridha Shraddha. Then one becomes fixed in devotional service and steady. Then one can get a taste. So if people ask, why am I not getting a taste? So you have this faith. Because otherwise, if you're thinking, oh, but it's so nice doing yoga, so nice, you know, studying the scriptures and becoming a real scholar, or, you know, being very, you know, here, physical strength, going to the gym, or, you know, keep my senses, you know, intact. I'm always watching. I'm always aware of my surroundings, you know, becoming expertise in any area. I'm a professional. I've, you know, got this. I got my, you know, my training and all these things. So the point is taste for those means you won't get taste for Krishna. So you have to give up those tastes, knowing those tastes have no value unless they're serving Krishna. And so then it's the taste coming from Krishna, not from them. And then it has value. Yeah? Udriti. Yes? Yes. Okay. Udriti. Srila Prabhupada. In Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 24.109, it is said, Bhakti Vina Kevala Jnane Mukti Nahi Hai Bhakti sadhana kare jay prapta brahma loy. Impersonalists do not take to devotional service, but take to other practices, such as the analytical study of the material elements, the discrimination between matter and spirit, and the mystic yoga system. These are beneficial only insofar as they are complementary to devotional service. So it means we may use that also, analytical study of the elements like Kapila's teachings, discrimination between matter and spirit. Then we see Bhagavad Gita is talking about that, and the mystic yoga system, you know, how the mind could be connected and all these things, how meditation works so that you can be absorbed in the Lord. But unless they're connected to the Lord, then they're not beneficial to the soul. They may be nice things, but they're not beneficial. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore told Sanatana Goswami that without a touch of devotional service, jnana, yoga, and shankhya philosophy cannot give one the desired results. The impersonalists wish to merge into the Supreme Brahman. However, merging into the Supreme Brahman also requires a touch of devotional service. The absolute truth is realized in three phases, impersonal Brahman, Paramatma, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All these require a touch of devotional service. Sometimes it is actually seen that these Maya bodies also chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, although their motive is to merge into the Brahman effulgence of the Absolute. The yogis also at times take to chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but their purpose is different from that of the bhaktis. In all processes, karma, jnana, or yoga, bhakti is required. That is the purport of this verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 4:31-12 purport. So he's showing us that they're not independent from bhakti. So they can't even give the results. The material results that you want can only come through bhakti. And that bhakti is independent, so it doesn't require these to give the results, because it's called karma because it's you want a fruit of results. It's called jnana because you want liberation. It's called yoga because of the desire for mystic siddhis. But if it's being, these are being engaged in the service of the Lord, you know, you're performing your duties within Varna Ashram, but, you know, so that you can do your service and that, you know, be fully absorbed in the Lord, or you're detaching yourself from the material energy, you know, or nowadays the yoga simply means some asanas. So they're doing for health, but unless that's in line with, it's about being healthy to serve Krishna rather than that feeling, yeah, I did my yoga, I feel so good now, I feel refreshed, I feel, you know, I'm ready for the day. And then you can do some service. But so that taste, that's not important. You know, as long as you engage in a Krishna service, it will be connected, but ultimately that's renunciation. So ultimately it has to come to sannyas, which means that no, your health is for the Supreme Lord's pleasure, not for your pleasure, and then you use it for Krishna. So Jiva Goswami continues, factually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original source of all self-realization. Kant means all, so that means Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. He's the source. Consequently, the goals of all auspicious activities, karma, jnana, yoga, and bhakti, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam 431, 9 to 13. Right? So that's then this is what we're trying to appreciate and understand. But because it's through bhakti, it's only through bhakti this can be understood. Someone can say, well, I've studied it, but it doesn't make sense. No, but then you have to add bhakti. You know, that's the point. The commentary says, I mean, Sridhar Swami, Saukra Janma is birth from pure mother and father. You know, so yeah. Savitra birth is taking the sacred thread. Yagika birth is diksha. Indriya Radhasa means skill of the senses. Shankya means understanding that the Atma is separate from the body. Right? So all these things, even you understand the soul is separate from the body, but unless it's engaged in the Lord's service, that's why then also this idea, oh, we're establishing people in goodness and this and that. But until it comes to bhakti, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. You know, they've mentioned here so many nice things. Sakura, birth from pure mother and father. Right? It's not even talking about animal life or this, that, just pure mother and father. So therefore, that's human. So that's a nice thing. It's a pious thing. But it's still, unless it's connected to Krishna, it doesn't help the soul. So none of these things help the soul. That's the whole point. Unless it is brought in line with Krishna consciousness. The commentary further states, why are all sadhanas to get results useless without service of the Lord? I mean, this is a quote, so this is the doubt. The Atma is the final end, abadihi, of all auspicious results, because it is of the highest value. Being dear to others, being the very self, then let Atma be the goal. Is the Lord necessary? The Lord is the Atma of all Atmas. He reveals his Sarup when Jiva's ignorance is destroyed. He offers himself with his form endowed with powers, just as he did with Bali and others. He is dear Priyahab, since he is the form of the highest bliss. Right? So that's the idea. So it means so again, we see here is that they're acknowledging the Lord's position, but they're just saying is that, but unless you have come to the point of realization of yourself as soul, then what's the point of the Lord? You know, so therefore, then these religious processes that of jnana and shankhya that help you, you know, and proper karmas that purify, these are what's important. And so by following those, then you come to that realization of the soul. Then as soul, then these things have that. So it's like karma mimamsa just on the jnana platform. Like karma mimamsa is you perform your karma, you get your results. So therefore God has to give the results that you did the work for. So technically you don't have to worship God, you just have to do your karmas. So this is the same thing in jnana, it means you can't realize God unless you know the soul. Therefore, coming to that understanding is the most important. So those activities that produce that are most important, and naturally God then will reveal himself. So we see is, even though it's worded very nicely and it seems very shastric, and I mean, it is shastric, and all that, but it's taking, it's misunderstanding the purpose of the Shastras. And so then all these things are there. It sounds very nice, but actually the purpose here is they're not interested in worship of the Lord. It means they worship the Lord in as much as they get their goal of karma, jnana, yoga. But as soon as they get it, they stop the worship. Because the worship is just like you cook. When your cooking is finished, the preparation is finished, you stop cooking. Because your goal is that preparation, not the cooking. You know, so you're using the techniques given in the Shastra, you know, for karma, jnana, yoga, but then to get the results of karma, jnana, yoga. So if bhakti is necessary as an ingredient to make them work, okay, you accept, you're pious enough, okay, yeah. If that's part of the ingredients, then you do it. But as soon as you get it, then does that make sense? So it's a very, very subtle point here is that, you know, they're pointing out is that these sadhanas to get results are useless without the Lord, because they get results in that knowing that you're the soul. This is very important. But this is just the platform of vijnanamoya, you know, that understanding the liberation and the nature of the soul. So it's just the fourth level. It's the highest, the most subtle, you know, the closest is you could say it's spiritual, but it's not actually transcendental, you know. It's not actually connected that the soul itself is getting the actual benefit, because you're only acknowledging the sat aspect of the soul. They say realization of the soul, but they don't know chit and ananda, and they don't actually fully understand sat. So therefore, it won't give any real lasting benefit. Okay, so Jiva Goswami continues. He is Paramatma, the soul of the pure jivas, being apart from their bodily coverings. He is like the sun in relation to the rays of the sun. It is said, therefore, it is his own self that is most dear to every embodied living being. And it is simply for the satisfaction of the self that the whole material creation of moving and non-moving entities exist. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:14-54. Krishnam enam avehi tvam atmanam akilatmanam. Jagad dhitaya so pyatra dehi va bhati mayaya. You should know Krishna to be the soul of all living entities. For the benefit of the whole universe, out of his causeless mercy, has appeared as an ordinary human being by the strength of his maya. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:14-55. The Lord reveals Brahman, which is identified with the jiva, atma, and reveals Ishwara, atma, atmadhaha, and makes them subservient to the jiva. In this way, he gives himself atmadaha to the jiva. This is the intention of Sridhar Swami through his commentary. Right? So this is the purpose that he's giving, because you see, he's working, he's trying to cut these aspects of jnana. You know, most of the time you see is that you have to cut the aspect of karma. But here he's also cutting that of jnana and using it, like we said, similar to how Jaimini is using the point of that the karma's guard has to, you know, respond to you. So you is the atma is the most important, but he's pointing out, no, it's the Supreme Lord. He's the atma of the atmas. So when you say you have the realization of atma, that means the Supreme Atma. Because if you only know the atma, and since the atma is part and parcel of the Lord, if you don't know the Lord, you don't actually know yourself. You know, just like, let's say there's an individual. They don't know the family. They don't know anybody, you know, where they're from, anything. They just are there on their own on the street. And, you know, they know themselves. Okay, I got two arms. I got a head. I got legs. I got this much money in my pocket, you know, this, that. And so in that way, to some degree, he knows himself. But until he actually understands himself in the context of the actual family, then he can only say he actually understands himself. So saying that I'm Atma, okay, that's nice, because, I mean, that's a fact. But the point is that relationship, knowing Atma, you are in relationship to the Supreme Lord. That you have to understand. Then you actually understand. So that's really the Atmadaha. Then he gives himself to the jiva in that relationship with the Lord. So relationship is there, but then one has to also understand and act within that relationship. Okay. So therefore, that's Sri Dasawami's intention. He's not pushing any jnana agenda, because some people say, well, he's, you know, in an impersonal line and this and that and this and that. So he was saying that they don't actually understand what he's saying and what is pure bhakti. Anucheda 52. Moreover, is there anything on this, or go on to the next? Good. Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Good, okay. Moreover, it is said, just as the branches and twigs are satisfied by watering the root, and just as the senses are satisfied by nourishing the life air, by worshiping the Supreme Lord, all worship is accomplished. Srimad Bhagavatam 4:31-14. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes people ask why this Krishna consciousness movement simply advocates worship of Krishna to the exclusion of the demigods. The answer is given in this verse. The example of pouring water on the root of a tree is very appropriate. In Bhagavad Gita 5:1, it is said, Urdvam mulam adha shakam. This cosmic manifestation has expanded downward, and the root is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right, so that's the whole thing, is that you have the Lord, and then this world has expanded down. So in the same way as he's the Lord, knowledge comes from him. He is knowledge. It expands down, and as you see, it gets down. You have the big roots, big trunk. Then you have the major branches, then the minor branches, and then the twigs, and then the leaves. And like this, it just gets farther and farther, more and more, you know, finer detail. So that's why detail has to be seen in its context. That detail connects back to what twig and or what branch and what you know, this back to the trunk. Then you see is that that's going to be based on the Supreme Lord. Then it makes sense. But we think, oh, but this one is here, this twig here, and that twig over there, and they look different. See, this one's straight, and this one's a little bit bent here, you know, and like that. And so then we get confused. But when you see everything, is it coming down from Krishna? So both of these twigs came down from the root, which is Krishna in this tree. So therefore, they all both go back to Krishna. So singing them in the context of Krishna, that's the only way that you actually get any real benefit or any real knowledge or any real ability to apply things in a consistent way in your life. Because consistency means it's about Krishna. If you make it about anything else, it will not, you can guarantee it will never be consistent. That's why you say people that you, how much time do you hear people talking about the middle path? I'm in the middle. I've heard so many, they're talking, no, we're talking about the middle. We're not a, you know, fanatic, this, that. But every one of them is not representing the middle, because the middle is Krishna. Everything goes out from Krishna. So if the middle is so important, that means it has to be Krishna. Then from him come, you know, the forms, the situations, the forms, the actions that must be done to get the results. Then, you know, on the other side, it will be, you know, the individuality that's there, the uniqueness of that individual and their particular, you know, ways of dealing and all that. So that all has to be seen together, that the individual has to see how they fit into all these things, right? Means you have the Lord, you have his instructions of the Vedas, that's given by then the sages of that and the Smritis. And then the acharyas make their comments. Other senior persons give us direction. Then we know who we are. So then, within all those instructions, which one can we connect to? You know, which one matches our situation? Not it starts from us, and then we pick and choose if we want Shastra or not. No, it starts with Shastra. Shastra gives you, let's say, 10 options. So these two options will fit for myself. Well, those ones won't at this time. But, you know, when I was younger than this one, when I'm old like this, when I get older, some others. So it keeps changing because the conditioned state always changes. So one has to see is that it's coming down. And so therefore, then the root is Krishna. It comes down from there. So if you don't see it back to the root, you will never be balanced. You will never be taking that middle path. No, there's no question of it. No question of it, right? You know, China calls themselves the Middle Kingdom, right? Everywhere else calls them the Far East. You know, so Europe will take that they're the middle, and then, you know, what do you call it? The Americas is the West, and Asia's to the east. You know, the Americas take themselves to the middle. If you ever seen an American map of the world, America's right in the middle. You know, and then you have Europe and, you know, and half of Asia and the other half of Asia and Oceania on this, on the other side. So it's always like that. Wherever they are, they say, I'm the middle, you know. But Krishna says, no, he's the middle. He's the source. He's the maintenance. He's the, makes everything run. And so, so unless we see it back to him as the root, then it, nothing works. So all weaknesses in our understanding and our practices and that come from not seeing Krishna as the root. That's where it comes. We get something else as important, but no. Rudriki, Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes, oh, we just a minute, we just read that. Okay. Okay, in Bhagavad, okay. Downward. Okay. As the Lord confirms, is that what? In Bhagavad Gita 10.8?
Yes, that's it.
Okay. As the Lord confirms in Bhagavad Gita 10.8, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavaha. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. End quote. Krishna is the root of everything. Therefore, rendering service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Krishna Seva, means automatically serving all the demigods. Sometimes it is argued that karma and jnana require a mixture of bhakti in order to be successfully executed. And sometimes it is argued that bhakti also requires karma and jnana for its successful termination. The fact is, however, that although karma and jnana cannot be successful without bhakti, bhakti does not require the help of karma and jnana. Actually, it's described by Srila Rupa Goswami, avnyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma jnanavritam. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 19.167. Devotional service should not be contaminated by the touch of karma and jnana, right? Because as we mentioned, it's about the mentality. Because the people say, no, but without karma and jnana, you can't function. They're attached to the results of karma and jnana. They don't understand it's just mechanics. You know, like we said, the car runs. But why are you doing it? Someone's driving the car simply because they get some, you know, from their house to wherever they want to be, right? Someone else is doing it because of the prestige of the car. Someone else is for the excitement of, you know, going fast in the car and weaving through traffic and stuff like that. Someone else is just, they want to get away from the house and get out. And so it's just to get for some time for themselves. Someone else just goes for a pleasant drive, just that it's nice and it's a form of enjoyment for them. And then someone else goes from the house to the temple to do devotional service. You know, or yeah, like that. You know, or from the temple to go to the market, buy sabji for Krishna, like this. So the driving will be the same. There's no difference in driving unless they're bad drivers. But if they're good drivers, the technique is the same. You turn the wheel this way, the car goes that way. You turn it that way, it goes that way. You push on the accelerator, it goes quicker. You let off, it goes slower. You push on the brake, it slows down. You let off, then you can go. You push in the clutch, you can change the gears. You know, you don't push in the clutch, then, you know, you're going to leave your clutch on the highway. You know, so all these different things are there. So it's just a matter of the technique is exactly the same. So people are seeing, they're used to seeing only the technique and the place. This place, you can do this technique, get this result. If I get that result, I'm happy. But they haven't actually got to the platform of Ananda, because that is, your intent is you're trying to make yourself happy. And so that's not complete. Only when you make Krishna happy, because you're part of Krishna, then you can actually be happy. So their idea of happiness actually is incomplete. It's not an actual form. That's why there's no satisfaction. So we're used to looking at Krishna's energy without Krishna. You know, it's Krishna's separated energy. So they look at the time and place. And they, even you say circumstance, they won't take it that means me and my attitude. They'll take it about, you know, what's going on and the, you know, around people, the moods and this and that, everybody else. Because naturally, it's unspoken that the jiva thinks I'm the center of the universe. Everything's about me and for my benefit. So they don't even discuss that. They don't even discuss it. So that's ignorance. That's the Ajnana Shakti. It's just ignorance. So they're doing it because the benefits they'll get. That's all. But so you're replacing yourself with Krishna. So that's why they want to make it self-spiritual life, as we saw before. Sridhar Swami's making the comment that people may say that, no, but it's understanding yourself, because they want to get, okay, I'm not looking at myself as the enjoyer, you know, or controller on the material, I mean, on the platform of karma, but I want to be the controller and enjoyer on the platform of spiritual, of the soul, of Brahman. So therefore, it's still about me. It's not about Krishna. So it's still self-centered. It may be higher level, just like someone only sees themselves as gross senses. Someone sees themselves as part of the community. That's higher. Someone sees themselves as, you know, the world being, it's God's world and, you know, all the laws that are there. And, you know, then higher is that I'm the soul. But still, it's all about themselves. It's still, I'm the control and the enjoyer. So it never gets beyond that point. Right? So bhakti, you know, so for them to work, since it's coming down from Krishna, you need to have bhakti to make them work. But that doesn't mean it's the other way around. Just like where there's smoke, there's fire, but where there's fire, there doesn't have to be smoke. So that would be the thing, is that it's a faulty form of logic, right? The Tarka is wrong, because they're thinking that, you know, but bhakti, you know, without doing an action, you can't express your bhakti. So just the soul, they're surrendered to the Lord, that things, they can function. They remember the Lord here. Chant. It doesn't require these things. These are natural. What they're for is that. They're not for karma and jnana. But in the material world, because you forget Krishna, using them without bhakti, they're called karma and jnana. So using them in their natural state. People can't see that, like, oh, without money, you can't do anything. So money is the most important. You know, every collector on the planet practically thinks like that. They will think they're the most important person in the temple or in the project, because without the money, you can't do anything. No, without Krishna, you can't do anything. So therefore, those with more devotion, that's more important. And they can connect to this by using their skills in collection to support that devotional effort of the devotees involved. Well, if they think it's without money, nothing happens. No, it's without leadership, nothing happens. You get all the money you want, doesn't mean anything happens. There's plenty of rich people that get nothing done because they don't know how to do things. Just because you have the money. You know, and there's plenty of people that don't have money. People come along, like Rupa Goswami didn't have any money. And then somebody comes along and says, hey, I'll build you a temple. You know, I'd like to do this service. You know, you're sitting here under a tree with your deity. I'll build you a nice temple for your deity. You know, so he engaged him in service. But as far as his devotion, he didn't need a big temple to worship his deity. Govindaji didn't require that big temple for him to, you know, sit and be absorbed in Krishna. Does that make sense? So this is important. Stuff is that it goes one way, not the other, because people say, oh, but you know, if you don't have a job, you don't have money, so you can't live your life Krishna conscious. No, it's the other way around. If you're not Krishna conscious, what's the point of having money? So this is only offering service to support devotional activities. The devotional service is the main. You can't reverse it. People are reversing it because of their attachment to karma and jnana. So that's karma misra. Or jnana misra bhakti. And when it's about doing Krishna, then you do what you need. Mother Yashoda, as a parental rasa, wants to cook something nice for Krishna for his breakfast, for his dinner, you know, send snacks for his lunch. You know, she wants to do that. So, of course, it uses these mechanical things, but those are all expanding from bhakti. But when the material world is a reflection of that comes here, then you see all the mechanics and all the results and all the interactions, but you don't see Krishna. So that's the separated energy. That's why it's different. So mechanically, yes, it'll be the same, but where did those mechanics came from? They came from bhakti, not from karma. We think, no, the professionals, we have to learn from them. No, the professionals have to learn from us, factually. It's not the other way around. Modern society is involved in various types of philanthropic works, humanitarian works, and so on. But people do not know that these activities will never be successful unless Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is brought into the center. One may ask, what harm is there in worshiping Krishna and the different parts of his body, the demigods? And the answer is also given in this verse. The point is, by supplying food to the stomach, the indriyas, the senses, are automatically satisfied. One tries to feed his eyes or ears independently, the result is only havoc. Simply by supplying food to the stomach, we satisfy all the senses. It is neither necessary nor feasible to render separate service to the individual senses. The conclusion is that by serving Krishna, Krishna Seva, everything is complete. As confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 22:62, Krishne Bhakti Kaila Sarva Karma Krita Hoy. If one is engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything is automatically accomplished. Right? So you're doing service, so naturally you're going to express it. You're going to do all the whatever activities or that are necessary. So that means everything else is taken care of. You don't need to separately. Here, you have to know all these things to engage. You're trying to get to the point of knowing, you know, I'm here, but then all this is there, and then everything's, you know, the land is there, the trees, all the living entities, the planetary, somebody's controlling them. I'm getting closer and closer, and I'm Brahman. There's Brahma, but then there's the universe, and then the Shankya, the elements, and then the primary creation, but it goes back to Krishna. So therefore, when I know Krishna, then the whole thing has value. So it's just an inductive way to somehow or another get the living entity to try to improve their position. But actually, that knowledge is being given in a deductive way because it's about Krishna consciousness, about pure bhakti, service to the Lord. But it's given in such a way that if we don't want to take that, at least we'll take, you know, the situation itself, the activities themselves, the results. We'll see them in context of the religious principles given in the Veda. So at least it's more pious. We don't disturb those who are bhaktas. Like, remember before, I said when you came to India in the 70s, anything that we used in devotional service was available and good quality. You could get best quality, incense and the oils, the scented oils for the Lord, you know, the vegetables, the grains, you know, cloth, wool, silk, you know, whatever you needed. It was all there, first class. You just had to know the difference between them. So with a little training, you could tell everything was there because people were following the Vedic culture just without Krishna. So at least it created an auspicious environment for Krishna consciousness. But as time goes and people become more and more committed to these kind of non-Vedic lifestyles and all that, then you see these things are getting harder and harder to find. And even then, you know, if you do find it's not necessarily good quality, or if it is good quality, it's a ridiculous price. You have to get from here and there. It creates so much trouble. And all kinds of useless stuff are all available. You know, 10 different kinds of potato chips. You know, it's like, you know, whoopee. So the thing is how do you connect all this? So the point is that's why in the Vedic cultures, even if you're not a devotee, you'd follow it because it doesn't bother the devotees. It creates an auspicious environment. Well, now it's like it's very difficult for anything, let alone the facilities, even the association, even the way to talk, you know, this and that. You know, it's like anything you say, every word you say is going to be an offense. Someone will take offense, will use whatever you say to make themselves the offended so that they feel righteous about making themselves the center. You know, people have such minimal relationships or any valuable relationship, they just have to, you know, go back to the self because the self is the most important, but they mistake the self for the body and mind and just make it all about that. They can't even elevate it to include others or understand that they're the soul and not the body and things like that. A very sad position. Yeah. The commentary says, quote, the results produced by devotion to devatas through various karmas arise because of devotion to the Lord. By worship of devatas alone, nothing is achieved. An example is given. Lord Muni spoken thus to the Prajetas. So just as you feed the stomach and all the senses, so the point is without devotion to the Lord, nothing's achieved. Because you worship these demigods, where will it go? Unless there's some worship of the Lord, that it can't function. So therefore, just by worship taken care of. Because otherwise, as Gopabhatta Goswami points out, who can worship the rulers? You have to worship all the demigods. All means 33 million. Who's doing that? No one. So therefore, how can they get the actual result of demigod worship? But if you worship the Supreme Lord, then you get everything. Okay. Any points on this or anything? No? Good. Okay. Riti. In the next Anucheda, the discussion between Maharaj Rahuvina and Jarabhara decided to establish that by the association of pure devotees of the Lord, one can easily attain pure devotion to the Lord. Anucheda 53. Rishabha, teaching his sons, will be discussed later. Srimad Bhagavatam 553, 5525. In the discussion between Rahugana and Jarabhara, there is the following. O King Rahugana, you are also absorbed in material existence, making friends with all beings, renouncing the punishment that the king gives to others, taking the sword of knowledge, with mind detached from material enjoyment, cross over material existence. Jiva Goswami then says, the knowledge jnana mentioned is under the shelter of bhakti. But then the king says, because you take that verse, but you have to see the verse in the connection with other verses. So it has value. But you have to see it in connection with the other verses. And then you see in the next verses that it identifies what that means. Quote, human birth is the most splendid. What use is any other birth in which there is no intimate association of great devotees, whose whole being is composed of glorification of the Lord? It is not astonishing that all my sins have been destroyed by the dust of your lotus feet, and that pure bhakti to the Supreme Lord has arisen. By a moment's association with you, my lack of discrimination, the root of my false arguments has been destroyed. Srimad Bhagavatam 5:13, 20-22. You know, so, yeah. So now, as we said, okay, we have to worship that Supreme Lord. So how can we do that? You know, how can we do everything? So that's mentioned here. It's then through association of the devotees. That becomes the most important, because we may study on our own, that's one thing, but we study, you know, the commentaries of the acharyas and all this, then we get more, and then we associate with others, we see how they're doing, we see how they're applying, then we become inspired, right? So that's then the point here. The meaning is clear. Jarabhara spoke thus to Rahugana, right? Jiva Goswami concludes. Doing on time. Okay. Riti. The author next describes the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj to the sons of the demons. Prahlad Maharaj instructs that the human form of life is very rare, and hence, from the very beginning of life, one should engage in the service of the Supreme Lord, since even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection. Any activity or duty which doesn't lead one to the platform of surrender to the Lord, it's a waste of time and energy. Right. Yeah, so since it is the only thing to do, therefore one should start it as early as possible. Because we'll see some people say, oh yeah, we'll do this. Our karma is now at the end of life. We'll do it. Vladimir is pointing out, no, it has to be done now. Otherwise, if it's not done now, then we're wasting time. And also that even a moment of sincere service. So you want to start as early as possible to make sure you get in at least that one moment of sincere service, not the continuation of that. Good? Yeah? Okay. Now we do it here. Yeah, because now we have the next point. Yeah. Yeah, so in summary, it's Krishna being the root of everything, therefore everything, unless it's connected to him, that means all sacrifices, all yajnas, all austerities, all knowledge, all study, anything is all connected back to him because he's the root. So all these things seen in connection with Krishna give the real value. You know, when it's done in devotion, you see with that knowledge and with that devotion, then you get the real value. Otherwise, then it comes up short. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.